Hello, witches and witch curious people of the world who are listening to our lovely podcast by the Magic Apothecary. My name is Mary Elizabeth Macari, podcasting out of New York City. Who am I? Everybody asks, why are you doing this? Well, several reasons. Today is a new moon. Well, it's sort of new. It's actually a dark the moon today. A little dark because we're, like, still 1% lit. What does this mean? Let's talk about this. We're going to talk about the dark moon and the new moon and all the things that have to do with that today on this little podcast. So let me lower this music a little bit so that we can talk here freely. I just wanted to say hi. This is a nice, cold, wintry afternoon in New York. And here we are just talking witch stuff. Talking about the moons and the differences between them. And we're talking about witchcraft in general. So the Magic Apothecary is a podcast I started based on a online store that I've had for a long time. It's not about my products, although I do talk about my products. I do love when people buy my products. What I do is make handmade spells for people. I've been doing that since about 1996 or 7. And so what I do is I make oils and spells and soaps and lotions and incense and candles and all sorts of things personally for people because in this magic world that we're in, it's very hard to find something personally handmade for you. Usually you have to either go to a store and have somebody do it for you or order it online already complete as a spell kit and it's sort of generic, or you have to go and figure out how to do it yourself. So many people don't have time to do that or don't want to do that. And they want to rely on an initiated witch and a powerful sister who can do that work. And that's why I'm here. That's what I do with those products. If you're interested in that stuff, you can get in touch with me at the Magical, M-A-G-I-C-A-L, Apothecary, A-P-O-T-H-E-C-A-R-Y, at gmail.com. And I'll talk to you about what I do and send you some information. And you can also find me on Etsy, E-T-S-Y. It's a handmade good site that you can find me on and other people as well, making beautiful things for the goddess. Why am I here? Because I am a dedicant of the goddess, the great goddess, the one goddess, who is the goddess of 10,000 names. Some people call her Isis. Some people will call her millions of other names. Either they be Hindu or maybe Asian or Native American or European or anything. But I am a dedicant to the goddess and I have been a witch since about 1996 when I started doing my work. I bumped into a bunch of people. Excuse me, in the old enchantment store, which was run by Carol Puzon and Lady Rhea when they first opened up as in the 1970s. And I stumbled across this store in the 90s and have been a witch ever since. Went there to study in their grove with Jezebel and Joe Zukowski, who were my original grove teachers, and went on from there to study with a whole bunch of different people. I'm an initiated gardenerian. I am also a member of the fellowship, initiated member of the Fellowship of Isis as well, and run my own group out in deep, dark Brooklyn, in the wilds of Brooklyn as well. So I do this work for the goddess. I don't get paid for these podcasts. I could, I guess. I suppose I could monetize them, but that's not why I'm here. I'm not here to make money from spreading the word of the goddess and of witchcraft and real witchcraft. I go on and on in a couple of podcasts, and I will again hear about the politics of witchcraft. When I started, it wasn't. It was during the time of the first Craft movie, if anybody remembers that movie, and just before, just around the time of Practical Magic. And so these movies brought in droves of people. That is not why I was there. I didn't see either one till way later. Because I just wasn't at that time interested in those kinds of films, or I was didn't have time. I was a young mother. So I didn't know about it, but a lot of people were very interested in witchcraft at that time because of those films. And witchcraft in New York City has an interesting history. Witchcraft all through America has a very rich and very interesting history. But I'm sitting here where it actually sort of started And then spread, because Gerald Gardner, as some of us may have heard about, that name, Gerald Gardner, or Gardnerian witchcraft, began in England in the late 50s. And Raymond Buckland, who unfortunately just passed away, came to America and settled on Long Island, and he was an initiate of Gerald Gardner's, and he brought Wicca. And Wicca brought lots of stuff. So lots of people were actually here doing other kinds of magical works, but when the witchcraft law was repealed in England, it sort of gave, people here a little bit more legs to stand on also, and people started to do things witchy-wise. And there was a store called the Warlock Store that was in around Court Street in Brooklyn, and was run by a wonderful gentleman named Herman Slater, who was a magician and a studier of the esoteric arts. He studied the esoteric arts and an expert. And he opened this store, and many people found it and went there. And because of this infusion of information from England, and also a lot of the bohemian sort of, I guess you call it hippie culture, that was blossoming in New York City in the arts world here, people became interested in the goddess, and interested because of feminism, and interested in earth magic because of the ecology movement of the late 60s, early 70s. And all the fighting that went on here, anti-Vietnam fighting, and a lot of change that happened here. So you'd say, perhaps, if you're out there and you're saying, well, who are these people? I'd say, well, these were baby boomers that were finding their way, and the renegades of the baby boomers, not the ones who settled on Wall Street and make zillions of dollars, but the actual artistic part of the baby boomers' world. I'm younger than them, so I inherited that here in New York City. I inherited Gardnerian Wicca, and many different facets of that exploding all around me in the East Village and all through the West Village and in other outer boroughs, people really grabbing this and making it their own, as we do in America. We take stuff in and then we fuck with it and make it American. So now there's a lot of people out there who are calling themselves witches, and a lot of people out there that are either Wiccan or saying they're Wiccan or witches. And so I like to clarify that. Somebody asked me recently in an interview, what's the difference between a witch and a Wiccan? Pretty simple. Wiccans call themselves witches when they receive their second or third degree initiations into a coven based on the work of Gerald Gardner and Raymond Buckland and other people who follow that traditional British witchcraft vein. But they don't have to practice witchcraft. They don't have to do charms and spells and magic at all. That's not part of being Wiccan. However, right, Wiccans can be witches. Witches can be Wiccan. It goes either way. So you don't have to be Wiccan to be a witch. There are tons of other types of religious paths, who call themselves witches or practitioners. Those would be stuff that's based in African lore, like Vodun or Santeria or other types of branches of those religions, which are all over Central and South America, into Mexico as well, and also in the islands. And also there's people that call themselves witches that are drawing upon a Norse tradition, perhaps, from the Scandinavian lands above England, or people that call themselves strega, which is one of my heritages, Italian. I also call myself a strega. I practice stregaria to an extent, or at least old Sicilian magic that's been passed on to me by my ancestors. So that's all that stuff. And there's so much to read now and so much to look into. If you're really interested in Wicca, a religious path that is European and British in tradition, then look it up and find out about what it is. If you are, there's a book out that's a little old now, but tells you at least a version of what the original Wiccan world was like. It's called What Witches Do. That's one. And two, The Witch's Bible, which is a pretty interesting look at very late 60s ideas of what this was through a different kind of a coven, but nonetheless, a similar one. So there's that. So all of that goes into the barrel of what the hell is witchcraft, what's going on. And there's also stuff going on in America, and I'm sure all over the world, but I know a lot about Sabrina because I watched it, and The Craft, is coming back again. And we had American Horror Story. And I forget who else. I don't know. There's tons of them. I mean, there's tons of witch things on TV. There's one I just saw, Always a Witch or something like that on Netflix. Didn't watch it. Didn't have time. We'll watch it. We'll get to it. But there you go. So it's starting to become a thing. And people are like, why is this happening? They are coming to me and asking me this. I keep answering this question. I think the reason for it is because women are looking for power and looking for an iconic way to find it. So not, they're not necessarily interested in the goddess and her power coming through them, because that's my path. But other people are interested in just feminine power in general and just claiming the people who were murdered by the patriarchy and by the religious fervor of the right wing and conservatives of the time of the witch burnings and murders all through Europe and here in America as well. So that's what people are looking for. They're looking for a way to fight the establishment. It's a form of feminism for a lot of women. I think that when I look at my stats on both my podcasts and by the way, I'm on Facebook, The Magic Apothecary. I put up so much stuff there that if you're really interested, I throw up everything I can find on the internet so my readers can see as much as possible and sift through what they like. I put things up about astrology and tarot and magic and all kinds of stuff. So you find me on Facebook, like my page, and you'll get notifications about stuff when I put them up. But what I see on those stats on Facebook is that most of my listeners and people who are interested in witchcraft are about 29 until about 45. So we're talking about a couple of different generations all mixed together. There are some people still interested who are older, into their 60s and into their 70s, but not as many. So it seems like a burgeoning thing for middle to younger aged women. Wonderful. I think that a lot of women also, not so much men. By the way, I have 86% of the people that look at my stuff are women, and the rest are guys. So I don't, you know, it's an interesting statistic. I got it from both this, you know, Podbean. I've gotten it from Spotify here, and I also get it from Facebook and on my website. So this is what I find. And so what I am speaking to, who I am speaking to, I'm thinking, hi, you're a woman, and you are above, you know, just about 30 until about almost 50, and you've kind of needing a path of spirituality that it feels strong and powerful and gives you autonomy, where you don't have to rely on a male god form or a male priest or a male minister, and you can make your own way in your own eclectic, beautiful, creative, gorgeous, female, powerful way. And that's why I'm here too, because that's what I found when I first started as well. I come from a Catholic background, and when I went to a church where, when I was little, that I went to all with women, because men, when I grew up, they didn't come to church. They sort of stayed in the back, or they went outside in the cars smoking cigarettes, waiting for their families, if they even came that close. Because my dad, he never went to church until he was almost dead, and only did that because he was afraid to go to hell. So most of the men I knew didn't participate in religious anything. So it was female-centric. And then we had Mary. My name is Mary, so that was important to me. But there's this mural in my church, in the front of the church, which was really, really big over the altar. And it was of Mary. Mary was the centerpiece, wearing her colors, blue and red, representing the sea where she rose from. Marie, Maria, Marie, More, Mare. These are all names for the water, the ocean. She rose from the ocean, and on her lap is Jesus, little baby. And below her, she was up in a cloud, and below her were these guys, like looking up at her and talking to each other, and like the apostles, and like, who else? I don't know. And that was it. That's all I saw. We had the rosary, and if you committed sins, you prayed to Mary on the rosary. That was her name. You said it over and over, you know, 100 times. I don't remember exactly how many times, but many times. So, as I got older, I started to understand that Mary was God and that everything came from her, because that's how we kind of treated it in the Catholic Church. I got enough old enough to understand that it wasn't really that way, and that in order to be involved in the Catholic Church in any way, as I was called to be, a very religious path for me, and be a priestess or a priest, I was told, no, you can't do that. You're a woman. Jesus is a guy, God's a guy, and the apostles are guys. So no, you can be a nun, you can shave your head, you can marry Jesus, you can never have sex or babies, and you have to just be celibate for the rest of your life, starve somewhere in Ethiopia and maybe die, you know, or find Mother Teresa and maybe help her. I was like, what? What? I have to what? So, no, that didn't work for me. I got old enough to understand that that was not a path for women, although it is female, the Mother Church, and all of the basilicas and all of these beautiful places that represent the goddess and are named after her. There's so many churches named after the Virgin. But no priestesses. So I was in a sort of a funk, and I found this wonderful place. And I actually had gone to Herman Slater's store several times called The Magical Child. And then I ended up working right across the street from Enchantments and in the early 90s. And I eventually went in, much to my terror and fear that I would be, you know, swept away by demons into hell, because this is not, you know, the way you go. You don't study witchcraft. Then you just, that's the end of you. You know, you're going to hell and you've broken from the church. And my mother, actually, when I told my mother I was doing this, she didn't speak to me for about a year and a half, because I had this, you know, really just, I was doing a hellish thing. So be that as it may, I understand. I was there earlier, and I'm here to help. That's what I feel like. And I don't get paid to help. I do get paid if you want to order stuff or want a reading from me, or either be a tarot or astrology. I have to say I'm a really, really good tarot card reader. So, and I've been doing that since I'm very young. I had an Italian grandmother and a great grandmother, both of whom were strega for their neighbors in their neighborhood of Park Slope in Brooklyn, were reading cards from about 1915 when they first got to America, some my great grandmother, until I picked it up from my grandma in the 70s. So that's how that is. I have a tradition of witchcraft in my family that goes back to Sicily and beyond. Also, so I learned palm reading as well as oil reading, and I learned also card reading from a regular plain deck of cards, because they hid the fact that they read cards. So I learned what we now call the minor arcana of tarot when I was a very, very young child. So I've been reading forever, and I teach tarot, and I teach astrology, basic astrology. I do teach how to make spells, and I do mentor people on their paths of work. And so if you're interested, like I said, get in touch. However, if you're not, that's fine too. I'm here to talk. I'm here to help you and educate you and show you the way. Hold the lantern. You know, there's a card in the tarot called the Hermit. And right now I'm kind of a hermit. It's cold and I'm in the house and I'm sitting here talking to you with my Spotify blasting witchcraft music. And I'm going to let you come to me on my podcast. That is what the goddess wants from me. I keep getting that sign in dreams and in my cards. So here I am holding the light aloft for you so you can figure some stuff out. So today is a new moon in Pisces. It's like 1% lit right now. So there's no, you know, you can call it the dark of the moon. And right now, and it'll be a new moon in like minutes from when I'm recording. So that means when there's absolutely no light in the sky, that's the new moon. So that's kind of the difference between the two, although it's confusing. It really is. If you want, for all practical purposes, the day the moon goes new is still the same, pretty much the same day as the last scratch of the dark of the moon. But how does this work? How do we do magic with the moon? Well, on Instagram, you can see also every day I put up, as goddess willing, I put up moon phases. So I put up what the moon is doing every single day, and I put that on my Facebook as well, and what it means. What does it mean when it enters a sign? And what does it mean if it's waning or waxing? And what kind of spells get to be done on these particular days? Do you know, spells are done a lot, could be done at any time, but are done a lot by the phases of the moon, and also by the astrology of the moon, as well as the astrology in general. Okay, so how do we do this? What are you talking about, woman? Well, when the moon is waning, it's getting dark. So it goes from a full moon to a very small sliver of a moon through the half, through the smaller sliver to the dark of the moon. And then it rebirths itself. She rebirths herself. The new moon goes to full. That's called waxing. And how you know what's going on with the moon is what you see on the right side of the moon. So if we're looking up at the sky and the right side is sort of lit, then we say, oh, that's a waxing moon. She's getting bigger. If we look at the right side of the moon and it is getting dark, then we are in the waning phase. Okay? It's very simple. So just look up wherever you are tonight. If you can see the moon, you might not see the moon actually tonight since it is a new moon. So there's that. Now, the new moon is in Pisces today, and it's an interesting thing. And I'm on here because I had a conversation with somebody yesterday about astrology of today and tomorrow. Tomorrow we have a Mercury retrograde coming in also. So that's an interesting thing for all of us. But today is the new moon. So what does this mean in Pisces? So let's talk about that. The moon has now gone dark, all the way waning to a little sliver, and now she's ready to breathe in again and grow. So that's a good way to think of it. It's like a wave of moon going away and back again. So now we're coming back again to the crest of the wave. I love Rihanna, but this is loud. Is it Rihanna? I'm not sure what it is. I think maybe Sia. Sia. I'm going to turn this down. It's beautiful and very dramatic, but it's killing me to talk over it. Anyway, so here I am talking about this waning moon and waning my sound. Not funny. Anyway, so what's happening now in Pisces? What are we doing? Okay, this wave is building up again to come back again to full. Now we've pulled all the way back in. All the energy has come inside, and now we push it forward and out. And that's why magic for growth and potential and gain starts today. This is the day to start those kinds of things. It could be in any sign. The moon changes signs, of course, every month. It's in a different sign, so please take a look at your ephemeris, or take a look online. Or even on your phone, there's tons of apps to tell you what sign the moon is in. So if you're becoming a witch, or if you are a witch, blessings, and be more cognizant if you can about what sign it's in, because it makes your magic more powerful, much more powerful. So waning, gone, waxing, coming in, Pisces. Pisces is the last sign of the zodiac. It's the 12th house. It represents death, the afterlife, mysticism, magic, and also on the dark side, addiction, being overcome with dreams and depression as well. So there's two fishes involved in Pisces. Pisces is a dual sign. Some people call it silly things, which I love, like the guppy and the whale. One sign is the guppy, one side is the whale. Some people say it's the whale and the shark, or the dolphin and the shark. So take a look at all that, and if you're getting ready to do magic, new moon magic today, when the Pisces moon is waxing, and you can do this, by the way, next year, because the Pisces moon will be also in the same place next year at the new moon in Pisces. It's always coming around. Next month we'll have a new moon in Aries, and we go on from there through every sign. And each month, there's a different new moon in a different sign of the zodiac. But we're in Pisces, which I find is very interesting because we're at the end of this winter and in the northern hemisphere. And actually, people in the southern hemisphere are getting ready to go into winter. They're finishing their summer, right? They're finishing. The harvest is down there now, and all kinds of fruits and vegetables are growing, and things are getting ready to shut down in the south and become cold, where we're getting it hot up here. So obviously there's a mirror opposite. If you don't know that, that's a pretty cool thing to look up and see how the Sabbats of witchcraft are reversed and how magic is reversed in the south. And one day I'm going to get down there and just like go and see how it's what it is to be to fly and see winter in the middle of the summer. I can't wait to do that one day. So anyway, that be that as it may, Pisces new moon. So Pisces, what do we want? That's the first thing you have to ask yourself. Now, when you're starting to engage in magic like this, and we say, okay, it's the new moon. I got it. I have to start my magic. Yeah. It's Pisces. Sure. I get that too. What do I do? Well, first thing you want to do is figure out what you want to do. So you have 2 weeks before the full moon, and really your spell should be on the griddle or in the stove or in the oven now, going, building. You know, building up energy. As the moon builds up energy, your spell should be building up energy. If, by the way, I've been told, and I believe this, if you're even listening to this and, you know, if you're thinking about doing spells, okay, good. Because as soon as you start thinking about spells, they start to work. So sit quietly, especially in Pisces today, and make sure you know exactly what it is you want. That's the first thing out. I always tell people this. If you want something, you have to really want it. You have to know what it is to want it. You can say, I want a great job. Okay. And the universe might send you a really great job, but you might hate it. It might be too far from your home. It might require skills you don't have. It might be full of people you really won't like. It may be a great job, but not the best job for you. So you have to be very specific with magic. Sometimes I tell people when you're going to start a spell, and I've said this on other podcasts and I say this all the time, it's good to clear the decks. In other words, really work for a couple of months, maybe more, removing any obstacles to your desire. So for example, say I want $50,000 off the top of my head. Sure, I want $50,000. But what stops me from getting that $50,000? That's the first thing I have to think about. I have to inhale before I can exhale. What do I want? Why do I want it? How do I want it? Where do I want it? Okay, those things are cooking, but what's in the way of stop? What stops me from getting what I desire? Is it where I live? Is it my mindset? Is it poverty thinking? Is it because I'm a woman? Is it because of my skills? What is it that stops me from having this money sitting in my hand at this very moment? If you want to, you know, reduce debt, say, or that's the reason for this spell for $50,000, then you say to yourself, well, what have I done to get this debt? And what am I doing here? And how do I remove this thinking? How do I stop thinking debt filled and get debt free? And how do I get this money to remove these debts? You see, first you have to think about what you're removing before you can put something in. It's like that. You can't fill a filled hole. Like if you wanted to put putty into a hole in the wall to fix it, and it's already got putty, you got to take the putty out and fix it. Yeah, it's like a thing, right? If we want to cook and there's food in the pot already, you got to take the food out before you can put fresh food in. If you want to put food in your refrigerator, you have to clean the refrigerator out a little bit to make room for the food that's going in. If you want to, you know, I don't know. If you want to lose weight is a good one. That's a good spell a lot of people like to do. If I want to lose weight, then I have to figure out how I gained it in the first place and remove that issue. That's where we start. Now, you could have started that a couple months back, and you might want to start that today, or excuse me, not today. You could start that after the moon is full and starting to wane again. But during this period of time, if you feel you're not ready to start a spell, it's a good time to meditate upon what you want to gain and how you're going to get it and what the heck is in my way so I can remove it. So if you've already done that work, or if you want to do a dual spell, you can. You can get yourself a nice black candle. And again, I always say, if you're going to use a candle, please put it out when you're not in the house. Please put it out when you're asleep. Thank you. Done. Please do not burn your house down because you're a witch. I have had so many people do stuff like that. It just makes me insane. So yes, people will say you have to keep spells lit or candles lit day and night. Please don't. Please don't. Okay? Put them out with this thought before you sleep, before you leave your house. You say to the universe, although you are out in the physical plane, oh, to the candle, you're out in the physical plane, you still burn in the astral. And you still burn in the astral. You're with me always. And then when you come back, you can light it again with the fire and revitalize and re-strengthen your spell. Because every time you put it out, it just sort of holds. It goes into a holding pattern. And then when you light it again, you re-energize and it gets it going again. Just like when you turn on your stove. Poof, fire. Okay? We don't want houses or people harmed in any way. Caution. That said, black candle. If you have an idea that you want to remove stuff, black candles work really, really well. Also, what works is, by empowering that candle to represent what you're releasing. I always have a black candle on my altar. I never don't. I buy a huge black candle that burns for like 30 days. And then when I turn it on and off, obviously, and it burns for, 90. So I empower it. I write all over it what I want to remove or how I want to be dealing with that. And I use oils that I create for banishment and hex removal and jinx removal and blockage removal and, harm removal. I usually put into a candle like this. I use salt, or I can surround it in a dish of salt. That's a good way to go. If you don't want to play with fire, you can make a jar spell. In that jar spell, you can put your intention. You can take a nice clean jar and put your intention for what you want. And in that spell and in that jar, you can add the paper saying, hey, I want to get rid of, my poverty thinking. So I put that in the jar. I put it in with herbs and that remove, like salt, garlic, hot pepper, and seal it. If you want Then you can light a little votive candle on top of it. I've started using electric candles or battery-operated candles, and I love them, except they run out of batteries too quickly, and hopefully somebody will fix that, because I don't want to throw batteries away. I'm saving them to take to recycling, so that's a thing. But they're safer, and I can leave them on all the time, so I like that. I do use fire. I think it's a different energy, because electricity is still fire. Battery power is still fire. It's just a lighter energy, so I keep them lit on top of spell jars a lot because I don't want anything dripping into my spell jars and I don't want a mess and I don't want fire problems. So when I'm using paper, I tend to use battery operated candles. That is entirely up to you. It's just a suggestion. You don't have to do anything I say. We're American witches. We do what we want. So that said, if you want, there are traditions of backup candles or backing a spell. And one way I back my spells is by removing negativity as I'm adding positivity. So yin and yang on my altar at all times. So that's what I'm telling you. So if you want to remove, say, debt, you want this make-believe number of $50,000, okay, we have to remove the reasons for why. So for every spell, like you can keep a generic black candle like I do, and that just sort of removes all bane or hex or jinx or problems or issues for all of my spells. Or you can specify and have, I want this black candle or this jar spell saying, I want to remove blank, blank, blank for this specific spell. So if I'm making a $50,000 money spell and I need to get out of debt, I might light a candle that's just to say, I'm going to take all blockages away from this particular spell. That's a way to go. Some people then will, and I tend to also, have a god or goddess that they're working with, or an elemental spirit, or if they are fire or water, or other things. People work with all kinds of entities, elementals. Some people work with demons. It's all cool to me. I don't care. As long as you don't send them my way, I'm good. But you can work with a goddess form. You can work with a god form. You can work, like I said, earth, air, fire, water, elementals, or, you know, guardians of the watchtowers, or even a tarot card representation, or just a little picture. I mean, I've known people to work with, I'm serious, Gumby, you know, this little green guy that was from the 1960s. So a little cartoon character. Whatever works for you, whatever makes your little brain and your little head, I mean, little brain in a way. I mean, seriously, whatever child's brain inside of you likes. If you like angels, do angels. If you like demon things, do that. If you like Egyptians, go there. If you want Greek magic, do this. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. We're American. We do what we like. Just one thing that bugs me, I have to say. I have a whole ton of deity on my altar. I don't have a lot of room, as I said. I live in New York. So they're all there, all together, doing different things for me, and each one is lit, has a candle in front of them, battery-operated candle in front of them, and has prayers that I say to them, and blessings and thank you. I do use angels. I do use saints. I do use goddesses. I am into Egyptian magic, Irish magic, Greek magic, whatever. You name it, I got it. So as long as you can find a way for all these deity to work in harmony, then you can have them all together. Just try to respect them all in their own rights. That's the only thing I would say. That's my opinion. You shall do what you want. Anyway, so that's how you start a little spell. You can begin, or big spell, just writing it out now today in Pisces. And what would work today more than other times with Moon in Pisces would be for, you know, gain of super consciousness, spirituality, oneness with divinity. If this would be a day to really say, you know, I want to dedicate myself to the spiritual path that I've been attracted to. I want to dedicate myself to maybe going into the healing practices. I want to go to school to be an acupuncturist, perhaps, or I want to work in drug rehabilitation. I want to become a therapist or a social worker. So I want that to happen. I want that to start. Or I may say, I don't know. I don't know if I have those aims or desires. So what do I want? Well, it doesn't matter. If it's Pisces, we'll add to whatever. Think of Pisces as being the ocean itself. Think of Pisces as, it's not, but think of it as the ocean. And all things are possible with the vastness of the ocean on this planet. Have you ever seen how much water? Of course you have, is on this earth. Well, that's the power of the mother's blood. And it's here for all of us. And Pisces rules the waters. So pull that into your spell. If you wanted to do a love spell, this is also a good day to start that. It may not be hot, sexy, fast, you know, screwing magic, but it might be a very deep, intense attachment kind of magic. Here's this about love spells. If you're going to do a love spell, be prepared for everything to come back to you threefold, meaning if you say, hey, I want this person to love me and I'm going to do magic, but I'm not sure they do, but I want it anyway. Okay, go for it. And you will reap three times the karma. What this means is if you don't know if a person really loves you and you try to manipulate you, you will be manipulated three times over. You will be obsessed with that person three times more than you already are. You will fall in love with that person three times more than you already are. Everything comes back threefold. But if you know that the person does love you, say you are with a person and you know that they care for you and you are in a relationship and you feel like it's, you know, you can even, and you should really ask them. I have just asked somebody about a sex spell. I said to him, may I do a sex spell? And he said, go for it, baby. I said, okay, so we're going to get a little red penis candle tonight and put it on that damn altar. And see, I'll let you know if I can walk next week. So that's the stuff that you can do with permission. You can also say to somebody, and Pisces is good for this, you want to heal somebody, perhaps. You're feeling like you have a person in your life who's sick in any way, shape, or form. You have to ask them. It's best you ask. You say to somebody, I want to do a spell for you. They can say no, and then don't do it. I'm very adamant about that, because you must have permission. You must have permission. And that goes for anything. I am also a Reiki master, and I studied Reiki at the New York Open Center with somebody named Joanna Crespo. And if you want to study Reiki, that's where you go, by the way. No, you know, weekend Reiki people. This study is almost a year long, all three levels, and it is exquisite and intense and wonderful. So there's Joanna Crespo, and you can look her up on the internet if you're in New York City, or if you want to come into New York City for those classes, I highly recommend them. But she and, you know, told us all, you, if you want to do distance Reiki or Reiki on a person, you just can't do Reiki on people. You just can't come over to somebody and say, hey, I'm going to heal you. Maybe they don't want to be healed. Maybe they are where they are in their illness and they want that. They don't want you interfering. But there are people who will say, yeah, go ahead. And those are the people you work with. I had an aunt once who had breast cancer. And she believed in magic pretty deeply. And I asked her, do you want me to do a spell? She said, yep, go ahead. And I did. And I promise you, she was in remission until the day she passed away from heart disease, not cancer. So when a person really wants it, they're on board with you. Now, healing. Do you want to heal yourself? That's a whole nother thing. If you want to heal yourself, go for it. If you want to break an addiction, these are the days. This is the day to work on that. If you have an addiction to any substance, that's Piscean. Pisces sort of live and like to live in a sort of a dream world. And Pisces energy can make you obsessed with anything that's either good or bad for you. Either it could be a person, it could be food, it could be exercise, it could be meditation, it could be sex, it could be anything. If you feel you're obsessed and addicted to something, today is the day to work on getting strong enough to pull away from it so that you would complete this cycle. You would go through all of the waxing moon to the full. And then again, I would suggest if you have an addiction, you keep working this on the waning moon after this, pulling away, pulling it out and do it again until you don't have to do it anymore. And for some people that can be your entire life. It's a great way if you're in a 12-step program, or you're in rehab, or you have any problems like this, any kind of addictive problems that are upsetting your life, it's a great day to start. It's a great, really great day to start fresh and empower yourself to get better. Now, if you have an illness that's chronic, which can be Piscean or inflammatory, this is also a good day to say, okay, you know what? I'm going to work towards now getting myself healed, getting myself strong, building up strength, building up immunity, building up my system in general so that you can heal. So that's today. So that's a little bit about, you know, the moon and magic and spells and why witches are witches and a whole bunch of things. I'm going to start having interviews now. I have lined up some really cool people. I mean, really cool. I have Lady Rhea, who was the first owner of Enchantments, who actually studied and was in a coven with Herman Slater, and Buzinski, who was Slater's partner and partner in the store and magical partner, and a very, very, I hear, charismatic, beautiful man who live to this day. These people who were touched by this man believe he was a sacred shaman and a witch king of some sort. So she's going to talk to us about her life and her magic. She makes her own candles now. That's an example of somebody who actually makes their own stuff. I studied with her for a few months and learned how to make candles, but I cannot make them the way she does. She makes candles that are so beautiful. She's an artist and a painter, and she uses glitter like it's paint and makes the most beautiful enchanted candles. And you can buy those, by the way, if you're in New York at Catland Books. She's associated there, and you can also order from her separately. And she also does card readings for the candle magic. So that's Lady Rhea, who's coming up, and also her ex-partner in the store of enchantments and her ex-lover, Carol Buzon, who was also in that coven and who was also one of the first women to create the witchcraft world of New York City as we had come to know it through all the way until probably the 2010s in New York City. So she'll be speaking to us about her travels and her ideas and what she's done with her wonderful life. Then I also have Christopher Penzack. If anybody reads witchcraft books written by Christopher Penzack, I'd say you're lucky, because he's a fantastic writer and he has a wonderful system of magic you can study with him and at school. And he's one of the nicest ever people you ever want to meet. He's a wonderful man, very open-minded, very eclectic, a master herbalist. And he works with magical herbs, more hallucinogenic herbs, and more of in a way that I never seen before. He doesn't take them directly, but he does grow them, does cultivate them, and loves to talk about them. So we'll probably talk to him about some of that and what he's doing. Then I have Joe Zukowski. Now, who's Joe Zukowski? Well, Joe Zukowski worked at Enchantments for centuries, it felt like, and he ran the Grove there from 1995 until the store closed. He and his partner Jezebel, his partner in life and love and magic, ran these teaching courses, and I took that twice because they are great teachers. Joe is a wild, eccentric bear of a man who's an actor and a real wonderful speaker and a ball of energy, and Jezebel is a historian, a really staunch, strong historian, and between the two of them, I had some of the most wonderful magical experiences of my life. So I want to talk to them about stuff. They've moved down to Georgia, so they're running their magic world down there now, and I'm just curious to see what they have to say about all of these subjects. And if you know somebody who really needs to be focused upon, please send me information about them, themagicalapothecary@gmail.com. I'd love to interview them. I would love to see if there's any experts out there in things like wand or jewelry making, or people who are like really psychic, or I actually have a medium friend of mine, Ginger, who would be speaking to us as well about paranormal investigations that she does. And she's very into the other side and what that means, and meditation on that and card readings on that. So there's that. And, you know, I will go on and just talk and talk, because there's so many things to learn, and there's such a wonderful, it's a path that never ends. I love it. I love this pagan path that I've been on for all these years. And I'm sure you do too, or are interested in it. Just grab a hold on something that you love and ride it. That's what I say. If you love candle magic, then explore it. If you like herbalism, explore it. If you're into astrology, then go for it. Use it in your magic. Use it in your life. If you love the goddess like I do, then bring her in and talk to her and embrace her, whether you be male or female or anything else. Just bring her in and enjoy her. Find your gods. Find your pantheons. Find your life in magic, because we deserve it. This is our power. This is our ancestral power, I believe, rising. This is not Kundalini rising. I was just thinking about a book I just read. But it is magical ancestral power. Finally, maybe, hopefully, legally, let alone, so that we can expand and use the healing arts from the past in all mental, spiritual, physical, healing arts from all cultures, from India, from Asia, all through Asia, all through our native lands here, and all, every single culture, knit this back into the science advances we've had and become a much more advanced culture. Thank you so much for listening to my talk, and many, many blessings. May the gods and goddesses grant you all you ever want. May you live in peace and prosperity. May you be healthy, safe, and happy, and wise. So mote it be, and many moon blessings. Thanks for being here. Bye-bye.